Welcome back. Earlier this year, the Virginia General Assembly passed a bill to expand Medicaid coverage to adults whose incomes are 138% of the poverty level. By some estimates, that could mean as many as 400,000 people, including tens of thousands in Northern Virginia. Enrollment opened on November 1st, and Medicaid will begin covering new patients at the beginning of next year. So, as the Commonwealth gears up to get the word out, how will this Medicaid expansion change? How will it change access to health care in Virginia? Joining me in studio is Kathy Seibert, President and CEO of the Arlington Street People's Assistance Network. Kathy Seibert, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Also with us is Nancy White, President of the Arlington Free Clinic, which provides health care to the uninsured. Nancy White, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
And Allison Evans Cuellar is a professor of health administration and policy at George Mason University. Allison, thank you so much for joining us.
It's my pleasure.
I'll start with you. What is Medicaid expansion and what's being rolled out in Virginia?
So Medicaid expansion was passed in June, and starting January 1, the state expects to enroll 400 to 420,000 18 to 16-4-year-olds in the Medicaid program. Mm-hmm. That's an increase from 980 to 1.4 million in the state. They'll receive health insurance coverage, doctors, prescription drugs, hospitals. And the uninsured rate in the state should drop from about 14.2% to about 10.9% based on recent estimates.
Who has been eligible under the program and who will now be eligible under the Virginia expansion?
Sure. So it's been a patchwork program. So children under about 143% of poverty have been covered for a while now under Medicaid and CHIP. We also have categories for people with disabilities, pregnant women. This now makes it more general coverage for low-income adults. Their requirement is simply that they have low incomes and they be between 19 and 64 years old.
And there are as many as 400,000 new people who
Correct.
Might now
it's
be
a large
qualifying.
Yep.
How does Medicaid expansion relate to the Affordable Care Act? Didn't we already expand health insurance under the ACA?
Yes, we did. So Virginia has now joined 31 states and the District of Columbia by expanding Medicaid. Under the Supreme Court decision, that expansion is optional to states. In the original sort of the minds of the designers of the Affordable Care Act, the Medicaid would be expanded and then tax credits would be offered to low-income individuals through the marketplace. But because Medicaid had not expanded, Virginia had not expanded Medicaid, that left low-income adults below poverty in the so-called coverage gap. And those individuals are now covered, that which should be about a quarter of the expansion. Some of the expansion are those individuals who would be eligible in the marketplace, and also the welcome mat effect. This is a very significant initiative by the state to enroll individuals in Medicaid, and we anticipate even children who had been eligible for Medicaid but not enrolled will now get the message through their families and enroll. It's an enormous effort to enroll that many people in such a short amount of time.
33 states have already expanded Medicaid. Can you give us a sense of what kinds of health outcomes those states have seen as a result?
Sure. Some of them you might anticipate. So when you have health insurance, that makes it easier for you to access doctors. We have evidence that people use more prescription drugs, more cardiovascular drugs, diabetes medication. These increases on the order of 20-25%. We also see that they report being able to access care, see their doctors. Some of them you might not anticipate, less financial hardship, fewer medical bills. These can be on average $1,100. That's fairly significant for a low-income family. Fewer referrals for debt collection. The other things we see in states that have expanded Medicaid are the financial resources to the hospitals. They are financially in a better position. There's evidence that rural hospitals are less likely to close, which is, of course, less of an issue in the Northern Virginia. But there's typically the state budget also benefits. So the state is anticipating $2.4 billion in federal funds through Medicaid. They're anticipating an increase on the order of about $200 million for the state, but net-net, because they can then contract spending on services for mental health and substance abuse services. They net anticipate over $300 million in state savings.
Nancy White, many people might be surprised by the numbers of people in Arlington County who are currently uninsured. How many of them are there, and about how many might we expect to qualify for coverage?
So it's estimated that about 11,000 adults, low-income adults, are uninsured in Arlington right now. And the prediction is somewhere between 3,000 and 7,000 of those individuals will be able to enroll in Medicaid as of January.
Kathy Seibert, your organization fights homelessness in Arlington County. Many of the people you're working with will likely qualify for Medicaid coverage. What are their health needs like?
So, Kojo, we're so excited about this Medicaid expansion because we figure that about 95% of the clients that we currently serve will be eligible. When Allison talked about the gap, that's where a lot of the homeless individuals fell, which is they didn't qualify for Medicaid, but they couldn't afford to do the health exchange, and so they were left without anything. And that's really what both Nancy's organization and my organization handle. And so we're very, very excited about this because, as Allison mentioned, it covers prescriptions, it covers doctor's visits, it covers mental health services, substance abuse services, and a range of things. And really, health is the biggest issue for so many people who are homeless.
Allison, you have done research on what Medicaid expansion means for people who are in the justice system or people who have criminal records. Do they qualify for benefits?
Yes, indeed, they do. There is a particular federal rule that says the Medicaid program won't pay for services while an individual is incarcerated, and that two-thirds of people in jail are actually not found guilty. But while they're an inmate, there is an inmate exclusion rule, but they are otherwise eligible to be screened for Medicaid eligibility and to receive Medicaid benefits once they are released.
Got to take a short break. When we come back, we will continue this conversation on the Virginia Medicaid expansion. I'm Kojo Nandi.
Hi, it's Diane. The next meeting of my book club is on Wednesday, May 31st at 1 p.m. Eastern. I'll host a discussion of Mad Honey by Jodi Picco and Jennifer Finney Boylan, followed by a conversation with the authors. Find out more and register at dianereem.org/bookclub.
Welcome back. We're discussing Virginia's Medicaid expansion with Allison Evans Cuellar. She's a professor of health administration and policy at George Mason University. Nancy White is the president of the Arlington Free Clinic, which provides health care to the uninsured. And Kathy Seibert is the president and CEO of the Arlington Street People's Assistance Network. Kathy, enrollment for Medicaid benefits opened on November 1st. Your organization is working to help people apply. What is that process like?
So the process, state has made it fairly simple. First off, for those people who the state knows will probably qualify, they've already sent out and been received application forms to them. And what's really great is the state did that in bright yellow envelopes. So all the people that we have who are in housing, because we house a lot of people, is that they've already received that. So that's helpful. The other thing that's happened is the state has been training all of the case managers, my case managers, and all my staff. And so we currently are conducting enrollment sessions with everyone who comes in either through our day program or our outreach program, our shelter program, our hypothermia program, our 5-bed medical respite program, or the close to 90 people that we have in our housing program. So we are really, really focused on this, and we're not leaving any stone or person unturned.
Asif in Prince William County, Virginia, might have a more specific question about that. Asif, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Thank you very much, Kojo, for taking my phone call. Yes, I had a question for one of the panelists in regards to, so I'm a Prince William County resident, and I had enrolled in the healthcare through ACA, and recently to renew the application for 2019. Once I did that, at the end, it was telling me that me and my wife we were eligible for Medicaid. So how would I go about that? How would I, do I need to reapply another application for Medicaid, or is it already enrolled through ACA with Medicaid, or because currently my insurance is with Kaiser through ACA. So I was a little confused, and I appreciate you guys taking my phone call.
So that application, the way I understand how the system is designed, that application should be forwarded to the Department of Medical Assistance Services, which is the one that runs the Medicaid program. I would just suggest that you confirm that. But the process is such that that application should have been submitted automatically.
Asif, thank you very much for your call, and good luck to you. On to Chris in Arlington, Virginia. Chris, I believe, is a doctor. Chris, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Kojo. Yeah, I'm a doctor, and of course, expanding access to healthcare, this feels like something that should have been done a long time ago, absolutely. My concern and what doesn't get talked about in this is that we actually don't have that great of a healthcare system. When you look at our outcomes, when you look at our standing in the world, especially with the OECD countries, the industrialized countries, what we're finding is that we're having really, really poor outcomes. So apparently the drugs are pretty much the same in every country, but we don't have a culture of health. And so we are missing a mark. It feels like an opportunity that we're missing with this in this discussion. Extending poor health care doesn't seem it's good because we need everybody should have access to it, but it's not a great system. And I think that's never spoken about, and I don't think people talk about it. I'm on the inside, so I see it. And that's what I thought. That's why I wanted to call and join into the conversation.
I think at this point that may be a little above our pay grade, but I don't know if Allison wants to respond about how this kind of expansion can help with the healthcare system itself.
I think we can take encouragement from the fact that there will be more financial resources available to the clinics and hospitals and providers in the community, which frees them up to try some new innovative programs. So in my area, I'm thinking about the inreach that's being done in Fairfax and Prince William into the jail systems to provide a warm handoff to services in the community. If you can catch people as they're being released and connect them to the community services boards, which are providing substance abuse treatment services and mental health services, the ability to do that and be creative with these programs is in part accelerated by the financial resources that are there.
And thank you very much for your call, Chris. Nancy, one of the big messages the Commonwealth is trying to communicate is that people should try signing up for Medicaid again, even if they've gotten denied coverage in the past. Can you explain why that's a concern?
Oh, that's so important because prior to this, or at least at this point until January 1, there is no Medicaid for childless adults. And so people, our patients will say, oh, I tried to enroll and I was rejected, so I'm not eligible. And there is that assumption. And so the state's working really hard to rebrand this and call it, new insurance for adults in Virginia, because it's really important for people to try again and reach out, because the eligibility requirements are very different. And, 400,000 people will be insured who otherwise, previously were not eligible.
What are you hearing from other health care providers in Northern Virginia about the expansion? Do they feel prepared? Because if lots of people sign up for coverage, what will that mean for them?
Well, one of the things that we're really excited about, and it's one of the joys of being in a smaller community like Arlington, is that Virginia Hospital Center and Neighborhood Health, our community health center, are willing and able to accept all of our patients who are eligible for Medicaid as they enroll and have an easy, warm handoff, as Allison discussed. And so that will allow us to open our doors at Arlington Free Clinic to those who are otherwise not eligible and have not been able to receive services.
Arlington Free Clinic has decided not to become a Medicaid provider. You're going to stay focused on the uninsured.
That's
Why did
right.
you make that choice?
We made that choice really looking at the needs in our community and also the resources in our community. As I mentioned, Virginia Hospital Center and our Community Health Center are able to accept those people who are eligible for Medicaid. And so that allows us to open our doors. For 24 years, we've never been able to meet the needs of the uninsured in our community. We're a volunteer model. Almost all of our care is provided by volunteer physicians and nurses, and that's been our bottleneck. And so Medicaid expansion is going to not only give 400,000 patients insurance, it's going to allow us to see people that we otherwise weren't able to serve.
On to the telephones again. Here now is Patty in Alexandria, Virginia. Patty, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Hi. I'm a nurse practitioner in Alexandria, and I have been providing care to many of these low-income people in my community who are homebound adults, most of them on Medicare, and duly eligible for Medicaid resources. These people are very underserved because they cannot get out to the doctor's offices, and I've been providing a service to these people so that they can get their primary care, they can get their medications refilled, sometimes getting x-rays in the home, etc. And what I've encountered since January of 2018, since the Virginia passive enrollment of these people into managed care programs, they have completely cut me out. So there's a lot of nurse practitioners that are willing to take care of people and meet these people's needs in alternate
settings.
Care.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm just concerned that this is going to continue to happen. Because these people can't get any care. They can't get out of their house to get to a provider. Thanks for taking my call.
Nancy White, know anything about that at all?
That's a little outside of my realm, but I would say that it's a resource issue, that the states and the federal government are funding these, and I think that that's the challenge that the state has, is to take the available funds and make them go as far as possible. And these the managed care organizations are one way that the state is using to try to manage these limited resources.
Allison?
I think what the caller is pointing to is a separate managed care program that exists for what we call long-term services and supports for individuals with disabilities and those particular needs. That is actually separate from the Medicaid expansion population that is going to be enrolled in one of six managed care plans. And that's the enrollment process that's happening right now. Those individuals will become eligible for Medicaid and then enrolled in a managed care plan. But that is separate from the set of services that this particular caller is talking about.
Before I get back to the phones, Allison, so people can enroll right now to get coverage starting January 1st, 2019, but there could be more change ahead. Can you explain what the waiver that Virginia has applied for is?
Yes. So the waiver is called an 1115 waiver, and it has three components to it. One is a work requirement, and that would impact 19 to 55-year-olds in the expansion population. The state estimates, I believe, that's about 120,000 people. Then there is a component that is requesting that individuals at sort of the upper end of the expansion, the 100 to 138% of poverty, pay a small premium. And the third one is to provide housing and employment supports to a narrow group, which would be those who have either severe mental illness or substance use disorders or other severe chronic conditions. And that is under review right now. The work requirement will not impact the Medicaid expansion population for certain in the first year, and then it may take a year or two to roll out. At the moment, it's not approved.
Nancy, looking at the patients you're serving now who could be eligible for Medicaid, how would you expect the work requirements or the need to pay co-pays or premiums would affect them?
I think anything that makes it harder for people to be healthy is hard on them. Almost all of our patients work, those who are well enough work, but sometimes keeping a job if the economy becomes unstable makes it really difficult to maintain the requirements that would be expected. So I really think that any barrier to health not only hurts individuals, but it also hurts the community.
Here is Sue in Woodbridge, Virginia. Sue, your turn.
Yes, hi. Thank you for taking my call. My question is, if I have a visitor, my father, who's 83, is planning to come visit me in Prince William County for a short term, like 6 months, the most, or 3 months to 6 months. Is there any way he can get some sort of insurance coverage while he's here visiting me?
For a short-term visit, can anyone at the table answer that, Nancy White?
Most of the time at Arlington Free Clinic, we require that people have been in the country for a year because the services are available to Arlington residents. I think that through the private market, there may perhaps be some way to purchase something short term, but I think that's beyond our ability to answer that right now. I'm sorry.
Thank you for your call. So we only have a couple of minutes left, so please keep your questions and responses short. Here's Stephen in Potomac, Maryland. Stephen, your turn.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I am a dentist at a community safety net in Washington, D.C., and frequently we get visitors from Virginia looking for free dental care, saying that as an adult they cannot access that in Virginia. So is that part of the expansion?
Allison?
Generally speaking, not. However, I did hear presentations by some of the managed care organizations saying that as an as a additional benefit, they would have a basic preventive cleaning as part of their package. But generally speaking, those dental services would not be covered under the expansion.
Nancy?
So one thing that we're doing at the free clinic is, as we speak, building 3 dental chairs into our medical clinic. And so one of the things that we're considering, because there is such a limited benefit for dental in Medicaid, is to allow a dental-only option for Medicaid beneficiaries to be able to receive dental care, because it is really inaccessible to those who have low income to receive dental care. The caller is exactly right.
Allison, if listeners want to explore if they're eligible for Medicaid and apply for benefits, where can they go for that information?
So the state of Virginia is encouraging individuals to go to healthcare.gov to cover Virginia. They can go to their local social services department, and they can go to any safety net provider. They can go to clinics, wherever they're getting assistance now. There is a vast network of people who have been trained to either help them or refer them to someone who can answer their questions.
Allison Evans-Cuellar, Nancy White, Kathy Seibert, thank you all for joining us.
Thank you.
Today's show about Virginia's Medicaid expansion was produced by Margaret Barthel. Our conversation about regional Amazon losers was produced by Ariel Plotnick. Coming up tomorrow, it's your turn to set the show's agenda. Do you have hot takes on Amazon coming to town? What do you think of D.C.'s new restrictions on Airbnb? What local stories have you been reading and want other people's opinions on? We'll be turning the show over to you tomorrow at noon. Until then, thank you for listening. I'm Kojo Nandi.
The Kojo Namdi Show is produced by Ruth Tam, Mark Gunnery, Julie Deppenbrock, Margaret Barthel, and Lauren Marco. Our managing producer is Ingelisa Schrobstorf. Our intern is Talia Drayton. Our engineer is Josephine Neonai. For past shows and more content, go to kojoshow.org.
WAMU 88.5 is your listener-supported NPR news station in the greater Washington, D.C. region. You can support the Kojo Namdi Show and all the regional coverage you value by becoming a member today. Click the donate button at WAMU.org, and thanks.